ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण. So this afternoon the reading is from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 40 through 42. So we'll start with 40. Chapter 18 is titled The Perfection of Renunciation, text 40. So please repeat. Na
na
tan
asti
asti
vidivyam
vidivyam
va
va
divi
divi
divishu
divishu
va
va
puna
puna
sattvam
sattvam
pratiti
pratiti
jay
jay
muktam
muktam
ya
ya
ehi
ehi
Sya
Sya
Tribi
Tribi
Gunai
Gunai
Natar Asti Piti Vyamba
Natar Asti Piti Vyamba
Divi Divi Shuva Gunai
Divi Divi Shuva Gunai
Satvam Prakriti Jai Muktam
Satvam Prakriti Jai Muktam
Ya Evi Sya Tribi Gunai
Ya Evi Sya Tribi Gunai
Na,
na,
not,
ta,
ta,
that,
asti,
asti,
there is,
prithivyam,
on the earth,
va,
or,
divi,
in the higher planetary system,
devishu,
amongst the demigods,
va,
or,
Puna,
again,
Satvam,
existence,
Prakriti
Jai,
born of material nature,
Muktam,
liberated,
Yat,
that,
Ehi,
from the influence of these,
Sya,
is,
Trivi,
three,
Gunai,
modes of material nature.
Translation by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta
Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
There is no being existing,
either here
or among the demigods
in the higher planetary
system,
which is
free
from these
three
modes
born
of material
nature.
Please repeat.
There is no
being existing,
there is no being existing,
either here
or among the
demigods,
in the higher planetary
systems,
which is freed
from these three
modes,
born
of material
nature.
The Lord
here summarizes
the total
influence
of the three modes
of material nature
all over the
universe.
Om
Gina Tividanya
Dhyana
Gina Shalakaya
Chakshum
Unmitam
Dina
Tasmai
Shri Guru Venuha
Shri
Chaitan
Manovistam
Stapitam
Dina Mutale
Swayam
Rupa Kadamaya
Nidati
Swapadantika
Vandeham
Shri Guru
Shri Gita
Padakamala
Shri Guru
Vaishnavam Shri
Shri Rupa
Sadhijatam
Sahaganam
Raghunatam
Vitamatam
Sajivam
Sadvetam
Sahagrutam
Parijana
Sahitam
Krishna Chaitanya
Devam
Shri Radha
Krishna Bada
Sahaganam
Narita
Shri Vishakam
Vitam Shri
He
Krishna
Kuruna
Sindhu
Dina
Bandhu
Jagat Prate
Gopesha
Gopika
Ranta
Radhamata
Namaste
Tapta
Kanchana
Gorangi
Radhe
Vrindavaneshwari
Vishabhanu
Sute Devi Pranamami Haripi, Vanchara Patrukhascha Kripasam Himbehivacha, Vritanam Pavarendra Vaishnavendra Moonamaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda, Shri Advaita Kadada Shivachari Gola Matavinda, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Samadhi Bhaktivedanta Swami Jnani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishe Sarasvati Vari Paschatyani Siddhani Namo Mahaparanyaya Krishna Prema Padayaji Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurachi Chayamaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Nanya Gurachari Sundaraya Tasri Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the translation is, there is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems which is free from these three modes of one of material nature. Hare Krishna. So through Sri Prabhupada's mercy and guidance from the Prabhupada and your own permission, hopefully I will use to teach or to tell what they want to hear. I said earlier that we go to possibly text 42. 41 and 42 do not have any purports, but they very much relate to what we're going to talk about. And so, text 40, Sri Krishna has described the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, in different aspects, service, mood, character, so many important things that we take as part of our lives. But he categorized them in the mode of goodness, then in the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And then he summarized it by saying that there is no being existing, either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary system, no being who is not affected by one of these. Every being is affected by either mode of goodness, mode of passion, or mode of ignorance. Actually, it is explained that every person has a little bit of goodness, a little bit of passion, a little bit of ignorance in them when they operate. Fortunately, devotees have been, through the Shastra, been given, by Nagita especially, been given the different characteristics of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the idea is that so we stay away from passion and ignorance and be more attuned to the mode of goodness. Alright, so Sri Krishna is saying that of these three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, every being, either even in this medium type planet or the heavenly planets, their life is affected or touched by some of them, at least one of them. So it means we are also affected by the three modes of material nature. If Sri Krishna says there's no being here and he knows everything, it means all the beings here are affected by goodness, passion, or ignorance. Even the pure devotees, if they come to this arena, the material world, they still act, they understand what the reality is. The reality is spiritual. Still, they act and they use material things here while they're here on this earth. Okay? They stay in the world of goodness the whole time. The whole time. But because they're here on the earth and they're not in the spiritual world, Now I'm talking about those who were sent, like the Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, all of them that were here, the spirit bodies, still had to act just for our sake in the mode of goodness. The body is supposed to stay in the mode of goodness in their actions, and then in their consciousness, that's transcendental, because Lord Chaitanya has provided the mantra for us to actually stay also in the transcendental aspect of life, and that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now yesterday was the festival of the burning of Ravana, and so hopefully by the permission of the Parampara, we will touch on the significance of that particular festival. It wasn't celebrated here, but quite a few temples did that. I know Baltimore had announced this last week, I was there, that they were definitely going to do the burning of Ravana this weekend. So we will talk about the significance of it, Ravana's heads, which each one of them represents, and the burning of Ravana to remove that particular soul from here, at least as part of Krishna's pastimes, how they relate to certain vices, bad qualities that we need to be aware of and exclude, take from our lives. But here, to the Prabhupada, I mean, before we talk about it, he's translating that every being is affected by goodness, passion, or ignorance. So what do we need to be staying on? Well, Srila Prabhupada has described or translated what Krishna has described, the Brahmas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, the four Varnas. They are distinguished by their qualities. So Srila Krishna is describing that in text 41. This will be the translation. The translation of text 41 is Brahmas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material moods for chastisement of the enemy, Arjuna. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. This is how Krishna has arranged life in the material world based on these four Varnas. Now, Srila Prabhupada has said more than one occasion that right now, Kala Sudra Sama, everybody is a Sudra, by mentality, Sudra, because of the degraded Kaliyuga, the age of quarrels and degraded age, the most degraded age, and it's going to get worse as time goes on. But when you think about it, Brahmanas are supposed to be the priests, the preachers, and they also perform different yajnas, sacrifices. Kshatriyas are the military people and also the administrative people, the politicians, along with that. Vaishyas are the business people, the mercantile people. And Shudras are employees, basically. Now, do we have that in Kali Yuga? The answer is yes. Do we have priests? Yes, we do have priests. Do we have soldiers? Yes. Do we have politicians? Yes. Do we have business people? Yes. Do we have employees? Yes. So why should Prabhupada say everybody is a sudra? It depends on the quality of these four. We have, so many times you see these movies, you know, Srila Prabhupada, there is a devotee that wants to describe something more poignant, more important. He will say, alright, so you are Babaji's. But what kind of Babaji's are you? What type of Babaji's are you? There are priests. But what is the quality of the priests today? Many of them are after money. Many of them are after sense gratification. They use the Shastra to their own financial end. If they mention God, you will give me money. So then I mention God, so you can give me money. And the more I play the role to get you all excited, then the more excited you become, because it's an act. It's really an act. So you can pay me. And I will do it on TV. So a lot of people can hear. And a lot of people will in fact connect with me. And I become more popular. And more popular the translations, the more money. So that's the computer thesis now. What he's doing. The Kshatriyas, yeah, they are Kshatriyas. Politicians, I won't spend a lot of time talking about politicians because you all know what it is now. We don't vote for a good politician these days. We vote for one that is less troublesome than the other. So obviously, you know where we are at with politicians. And the military people, half the time they don't know what they're doing. The politicians order them to go fight some war for the politicians' own profit. And they go waste their lives like that. Every now and then the people wake up and say, no, this is a bad war, like it happened in the Vietnam War. It is the people of the United States that protested against it to stop the war. So that's got to tell you about politicians, what their mindset is. Vices, sure, they're vices. But the vices are also interested in profit. They don't make things, they don't produce things, and sell them in business for our benefit. They make things for their profit. It doesn't matter what happens to us. They will tell us through advertisement that it is convenient for us. That's true. It's convenient for us. But it is good for us though. Because most of the things that are so-called convenient for us are killing us slowly. There's so much radiation around. Right now, I have a new office, and I'm not kidding you. I have a desk, and there's a place that I'm supposed to sit. But I've parked myself in a corner, and I'm sitting in a corner of a desk, simply because they have installed in this new office some radiation thing that where, if I sit where I'm normally supposed to sit, that thing is going to erase, put race in me the whole day, which means it's setting me up for cancer. And I'm aware of it. And so, it's beaming one way and I've settled over here so that the beams go this way and avoid my body. This is what I'm going through right now. But what is it? It's a rule system that if you get out of your office and you forget to turn the light off, it will turn off for you. So I have to be here to raise the me so that if I move around, then it means the light stays on. But let me tell you one funny thing that happens. In my office, that's not when I'm teaching. I'm in my office, I'm in classroom teaching, that's one thing. But when I come to my office, I can do whatever work I want to do. Including me take a nap if I want to. It's nobody's business. Because they don't, professors, they don't check on you. You don't have to. So then I was tired one afternoon, and I took a nap. And all of a sudden, my office door was being opened. Somebody was opening and coming in. And they opened the door, and as soon as they opened the door, I looked up, and they said, oh, he's here. Why? Because the room was dark. So they thought that I wasn't here, which means I was taking a nap while I was still, and that thing had turned the light off. And so they came in and saw the light, well, he must not be here, we have to do some work in here, the maintenance people. So they just opened the door. And I'm telling the other professor, of course, so why can't we have a regular switch? We are so, you know, irresponsible that we cannot turn a light off when we're going off and turn a light off and come back on. It has to be an irradiation thing. Putting ways to do all the time just to turn a light off when I'm gone. But this is a new thing. And they're selling it. And the more radiation they put in us, the higher the rate of cancer, without a doubt. We know, we know the chemistry of it. It's gonna happen. Yet, business people just sell it because it's a new thing, it's a convenient thing. Yes, the light bill is gonna come down because these things will turn the light off if you forget. So there will be a little bit of reduction in the light bill. Huh? And now we tell you, there's more to it than just people don't know. And then students, well, that is the situation that we are all in now. As Shri Prabhupada describes it. Nobody has the mentality of real transcendental knowledge. Very few people in the world now are living the life of Vaishnavas. It's like if you can imagine a whole lot of people, like millions of people on the road, say even just walking on the road, demonstration, whatever it is, but if you can meet millions of people, to be miles and miles and miles of people on the road, and imagine that it's dark, so you really can't see them, and everybody is in this dark road, you can't see them, but devotees are the ones that are holding torches. You probably can count on your fingers how many torches they'll be holding. People will be holding torches. In other words, I'm making the point that it's so few devotees in the world these days. Very, very, very few devotees. And so we may come here, we may associate with each other, and that's just what we do. But we need to be aware that we are the blessed, highly blessed few servants who actually chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna is God, the Supreme Lord, even known in religion. They have different names for him in different religions. But he is saying, abandon all rites of religion. Because he knows that they're not doing much to connect with him transcendentally. There is no transcendence in religion. Religion takes you where? At best, heavenly planet, that's still in the material world. So religion doesn't get you out of the material world. It doesn't. And Krishna wants us back home, in the spiritual world. So if you follow religion, you're going to wind up at best in the higher material systems, planetary systems. Therefore, he says, leave that alone, because it won't take you out of the material world. And take to Krishna consciousness, surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what we are about, by the mercy of the Parampara, especially in Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The lifestyle that we need to lead should have the following brahminical qualities. There should be peacefulness, there should be self-control, there should be austerity, there should be purity, there should be tolerance, there should be honesty, there should be knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. In other words, the way we live our lives, the regulative principles, basically our sadhana. Sri Krishna says, these are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. In consciousness, we are brahmanas, or we should be working on it. But in terms of the mercy of the Lord, we are put in the Vaishnava category because of what we do, the chanting of the holy names and so on. The regulated principles are to make us, that is the base by which we're considered human. Anything outside of that is actually lower quality of living. It's a lower quality of living. We're not supposed to eat meat, fish or eggs because that's not designed, those things are not designed for this physical body. This physical body is a vegetarian diet. It's meant for vegetables, it's not meant for meat, fish or eggs. And then we shouldn't gamble because gambling statistically is set up with the gambler who lose. This is why they make such a big noise about it when somebody wins, because it's to lure more people to play. But in the national lottery, they are going to win. The lottery is going to, they said 1.9 million times the chance of them taking your money than you winning. So every dollar that goes out, they get 1.9 million. Of course, why wouldn't they make a lot of noise? They go play. It's easy money. It comes to them. So gambling is not a good idea. Intoxication, it will just mess up your body. All intoxicants, alcohol messes up your body, it messes up your liver, it goes through a chemical reaction, and a person that eats that, they get depression. It's actually a change from the alcohol to even a worse type. It's called an aldehyde, those of you that may know chemistry. And that's straight up poison. It's poison. The liver just makes that. So the hangover is actually your poison that's going through the body. You're feeling effects like that, temporarily. But still, it's very damaging. Illicit sex, we're supposed to stay away from it because the human body that we have now, this one, is designed that sexual activity is followed by pregnancy. That's just the way it is. sex life, pregnancy. And so if you don't want pregnancy, then you don't do sex life. That's how it's designed, this body. There are bodies in the heavenly planets that you can involve in sex life much more intense than what we have here. And if you don't want to have a child, you don't have to have a child. And if you do want a child, there's a short period of pregnancy, 15 minutes. We don't have that kind of body. We don't. So Srila Prabhupada says to stay away from all kinds of, and so many things that are, you know, attached to it. You involve yourself in promiscuity, you can run into STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Oh, so without that, it saves you the trouble of having to have a child you don't want, or situations of disease associated with sex life. This is why it says also there's restriction. Krishna says I'm sex life according to regulative principles. And the regulative principles is what Srila Prabhupada has put out. So this is the way we need to live. Peacefulness, if you're kind and don't get into kind of arguments or start one, then basically you're at peace. Self-control, control of the senses is just obeying the regulative principles. That gives you self-control. Austerity, being aware that what's in the material world is not really for us. We don't own anything. That's one. We don't really own anything. If we die, it all is gone from us. That's one evidence that we don't own anything. And therefore, whatever we use, we should take just what we need. And anything extra should be for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's even enunciated by Rupa Goswami, even how we spend our money. Purity, that also comes from the regulative principles and the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now in today's world, it's set up that those who are just not realizing where it's going, which is Kali Yuga, down, 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 they have no patience. A lot of people don't have patience. And if you don't have patience, you wouldn't have tolerance either. Patience is extremely important. Sometimes you have to tolerate with the understanding that no one here is perfect. And so even in the situation of marriage, your spouse has some good qualities and qualities that are not so good. They have a high nature and a low nature. Now if you play into the low nature and criticize the low nature, you ruin your marriage because you make your spouse uncomfortable. You might think you have a great point trying to correct them, but all you're going to do is make them more and more and more uncomfortable. Either they're going to be upset with you, or they're going to feel bad about themselves because you're putting them down, basically. So if you reinforce that part that's good about that person, and be a good example for that part that's not so good about a person, then you can help that spouse without having to argue with him or her. You're not having to. The person does this, that if you know it's not good, you do the better thing the whole time. So it's obvious to them. Children definitely have to correct. We're not talking about children here. Children you have to correct. But adults, we also have weaknesses. And therefore, if that is the only thing that every time you do this poorly, you do that poorly, you do this poorly, you're just going to make your spouse very depressed. That is no way to make a person excited or enthusiastic about even the marriage. So be a good example of what needs to be done properly and reinforce and praise your spouse for the good things that they do. Then the marriage is better. You can always look at, you know, you've been with them for a while, so you know some things that pushes their buttons, that gets them upset. Don't go there. It's just that simple. If you go there trying to correct that person, whoever the spouse is, they all are just going to get either depressed or upset with you. That's all that's going to happen. So don't go there. Appreciate the good things that they do. I have to learn it myself. I have to learn it myself. You may think I don't see it as nice, but I live for that. So I know the nice parts you see, but I have to stay away from those parts that will bring trouble. I have to learn it. And so then the house is okay. I know what side I don't like, but I live with it. That's called tolerance. I have to live with it. See, he's not perfect. She's very good. She's not perfect. I may be good, but I'm not perfect. So if you listen, she could tell me some things that she doesn't like.
But the only thing is, you just don't go there. You stay in the part that works well, right? And be a good example for that part that is a lower nature of your spouse. And the marriage will be fine, going years and years and years and years.
Now, if you're so wondering, well, I wish my wife was like this, my spiritual master answered that question. He said, in the material world, you're not going to get perfection. But in the spiritual world, you will get perfection. So if you're tired of imperfection, then go back home then. Keep chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama.
It's not going to happen here.
Here we tolerate. There is perfect. Remember, we're away from home. This is not, we're living a convenient life. We're not living a happy life. It doesn't matter what salary you get. We'll talk to them in Houston. 6 feet of people running away from their houses because there's a flood. What could they do? Nothing. It doesn't matter how advanced America is, they couldn't do anything. So that's a reminder. We are so helpless. We just think, but we are so helpless. The weather alone can control us. So that's not the way it is. It is nicer, much nicer in the spiritual world. And then you're given the process to go there. So if we take the process seriously, Krishna will give us the message for us to know. It's just that simple. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier that we make a little, some comments about the burden of Ravana. So it's called Dashahara. Dashahara, removal of the 10 bad qualities in us. Now, it's well known, Ramayana, Lord Ram, the perfect king. First born as a prince and spent years in the forest only because of something he didn't do, but there was a scam on him, you know, about mantra and, you know, convincing Kaikeyi that her son would rather be the king and all of that, you know, horrible situation. But then Lord Ram obeyed his father Dashara and went to the forest anyway. And then Ravana came and took Sita away. You know, in detail to tell you it's Maya Sita, not the real Sita. The real Sita was with Agni Devi. But still, he had the Maya Sita. Lord Ram wanted to get Sita back. So, a long story, how to get to Lanka. Many pure devotees and demigods in monkeys' bodies, good many monkeys and demigods, fighting for Lord Ram. And finally, when Lord Ram met Shishasharvihari King, Ravana himself got to the battlefield. The Lord, with his arrows, was cutting off the 10 heads, one at a time. But every time he cut off any of the heads of Ravana, he blew back up. Now the 10 heads, we're going to describe are the 10 bad qualities in us that we have to remove. But if Lord Ram is trying to remove the heads, behead Ravana one head at a time, and he comes back up, that goes to tell us that we have to really work on these bad qualities. They don't disappear overnight. Like the head comes up and all of a sudden, false ego is just gone overnight. Nothing happens overnight. That's why association of devotees is important, so that we can help each other to grow with the better qualities. We'll talk about the 10 qualities that we need to stay away from, or vices that we need to stay away from. So the 10 heads of Ravana are symbolic of the 10 bad qualities. And they are ahankar, false ego, that's a huge one. Sometimes it even rears its head, it controls our movements and our actions without us even realizing, without us realizing that in fact it's ahankar. It's a whole lecture in itself. Cruelty is next. Injustice, lust. Number 5 is anger. Number 6, greed. Number 7, pride. Number 8, jealousy. Number 9, attachment. And number 10, selfishness. False ego. In the Shastra, it's said that that is the most difficult one to remove. It's thicker than all the other bad qualities. That's not the only problem with Portugal. Not only is it thick and uneasy to remove it, but sometimes it's acting on us and we don't even realize that it is acting on us. In other words, it's subtle and sometimes it does a backdoor type of activity on us without even us knowing. And we think we're right when in fact we're exercising our false ego. We think we're right. And what kills false ego is to be more tolerant and patient. Our egos make us do things, and it's connected to practically a lot of these other ones too, especially pride. Ego and pride practically go together. So since we understand what pride is, it's easier then to see the sort of things that hit our false ego, make us use our false ego. When a person is proud, they don't really listen to somebody else's advice or somebody else's suggestion. And it can happen among all of us. You don't have to be a leader to be in that situation. Because when somebody is proud, they are thinking that their point is the most important point, and nobody else's point is important as their point is. A proud person thinks he knows it all, or she knows it all. And whatever they're coming up with, that's what has to be taken. In America, they say, it's my way or the highway. That's what we're really talking about here. My way or the highway. I know it. And many people, they take the point of, I'm going to stress it and stress it and stress it and keep repeating until you agree with me. And if you're repeating and repeating and repeating because you're going to go on until they agree with you, that is your false ego. That is your false ego. As soon as you not understand that your false ego is way out there. Because mentally, you're hitting on that person and making that person uncomfortable. And you know it. But you just wanted them to take what you call is right. It doesn't mean that you're right. You mean they think you're right. But you're going to push that point so much until they give up. And say, all right, we'll take your idea. That is false ego. And there's a proud person that does that. Now, suppose you're right. Let's even start there. Suppose you really have the right idea. But you are in a meeting and other people are expressing other ideas. Krishna is listening to the whole meeting. He's not sleeping. He's living in the heart, Paramatma. He has everything. So if you're right and somebody is a little bit stronger than you in terms of how they express themselves, and even whoever is supposed to make the final decision decides that, all right, there's this other idea that we're going to take. It's not necessarily the right thing. You know it. You have experience. You've been in different situations and you know that from your experience, what you're saying in fact is the best thing, but it wasn't taken. So what do? Are you tolerant? If you are, it's no big deal. You just let it go. You don't own the temple. You don't own the devotees. You don't own anything. So temporarily, you have to let it go. If it is what is supposed to happen, believe me, Krishna will turn it all the way around to where you were talking about. And I've seen this so many times. I was in a situation like that myself. And I'll tell you the story. My spiritual master, I was living in Vidyanagari at the time. And I have a background of a teacher, but I haven't taught in discount schools before. And so I was taken to Florida, the Alachua. They had schools there. The headmaster, long story short, they had been kicked out. Something he did that was very bad, and so they needed a principal. They asked me to go, and the teachers that were in the different schools, the girls' schools and the elementary school, I was teaching high school then, I was asked to go teach high school. I got a lot of information from them to have an understanding of how to approach the teaching there. So then, we talked for a while. One of the things was that the tuition for the elementary school was $125. And they had been at it for a long time. They could manage everything with the number of students in the school and what the expenses were, $125. Now, my wise idea is go help them for a while and then return to Vidyanagari and bring the knowledge
So I was supposed to help them, but learn from them, and then there was somebody else that was going to continue from their community. So that was all worked out. The person that was going to continue got ready, got taught. I left my family. We came back. Linda was just a baby. The child was not even born yet. Linda was just 1 year old. I returned to the school that he did not know. And so basically what I had learned was what I was coming to share. And from the expenses, it seemed to me that $125 was also good tuition for the students that didn't agree. So then I said $125. And I was struck down immediately. No, we're not going to do $125. So I just kept quiet. And then they started, it went up high, some people just couldn't pay the tuition. And then they went up, maybe we should bring it down, And guess where they ended? $125. The very beginning I gave from Elijah to say it. But if I just hop on them and pump them, hey, I gave to Elijah, I know that you should take the money, you'll be uncomfortable with me. And that money will never arrive at. But I said it once, they said no, I just kept quiet. And then they came to it and used it. Now, you don't want to say, see, I told you. Because if I say, see, I told you, then it's my fault to go now. Alright? See, I told you, therefore, now everything from now on, you listen to me. Then I'm the one who forced you to go at that point. You just keep quiet. It was expressed, they didn't take it, now they've taken it. On to the next thing. You just keep quiet. You can laugh at it, but you know, you don't laugh at them. You stop yourself and say, listen, it was all planned, My groom, my eyes knew what it was about, sent me there, I got the information, came back, you guys didn't want to take it. And now Christian sent you back to it, the same thing. You just keep quiet. That's all. Say it and let it go. Because if it's got to work out, it will work out the way Christian wants it. Christian is the one that controls everything, not us. We're just servants. That's why we call Das and Das. So you get an idea and put it out. Don't fight the idea, it's just suggest it. If it's taken, fine. If it's not taken, and it's not taken ever, and things work well, well then maybe somebody's idea was better than yours. You just keep quiet about it. But if it is, the best idea is from you, it will come to that. Krishna will make sure it comes to that. And some of the things that happened here, we won't go into details yet because you know some of those people, but some of the things have happened here that it turned out that what in fact was the best thing to happen was what happened later on. So we need to be aware that Krishna is in control at all times. We are just being used. So you suggest, and you don't push it, suggest, clearly describe what it is, describe the benefit, and leave it at that. Don't be attached to what happens. Krishna is the one that does the result part. Cruelty. Well, there are stories behind in the Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jat Bharat. We could go all about instances of cruelty. Unfortunately, as advanced materially as this country is, there's also so much cruelty. But cruelty is not cruelty from man to man only, not human beings. Cruelty to animals. Cruelty to other living entities. Cruelty, unfortunately, is a part of our lives. We can't help it, even if we're going to be good people. What's very obvious that if you do the bad thing and you're cruel to somebody, that you're going to be punished for. But look what happens. If we go outside and put on our shoes, we go into our car. By the time we get to our car, do you know how many ants we've killed? When we breathe, the air goes inside our nose, comes back to our nostrils. Do you know how many bacteria are suffering from this hurricane that we call breathing? So some part of it, that's just the way it is in life. So there are some parts of it that could be dubbed as cruelty, but we can't help it though. We're just living our lives. The mosquito comes to bite us. It's not intending on giving us sickness. It just wants food. We have the food, plenty of blood. We can take some of it, a little bit of it, but in the process, it gives us disease. It's not intent on doing that. So there's those parts of it. So it's pretty horrible in the material world when you think about it. Some people are trying to live. Some entities are trying to live. And in trying to live, they make others sick. That's the world that we live in. And we call it nice. How can that be nice?
This doesn't happen in the spiritual world.
So there's some part of it that we can have, but those that we know are totally wrong. So it's a pure thing we should stay away from. Injustice, we can go on and on and on about that. So much injustice at race level, so much injustice at community level, so much injustice at national level. This is all going on. I don't need to give you an example. I'm sure you should know about it. But there's only one thing I'll say. There is something called national karma. We know about individual karma, whatever you do and the reaction that comes. But also, there is in fact something called national karma. The karma that comes to a nation based on what the nation has done. And so, different countries are either doing more mode of goodness at the highest level, or mode of passion at the highest level, or mode of ignorance at the highest level. There will be individual karma for those politicians, but then the country is also going to go through some sort of karma. Why? Well, if we know that something is wrong and if you don't do anything about it, then you're also implicated. You didn't hear me? If you know something is wrong and you keep quiet about it, then you're part of the problem too. In the United States, so many things are going on wrong, but we cannot say that we don't have the opportunity to even try to change it. There's always an opportunity to write to our representative, to write to our senators, and express the things that we don't like to them. Because they're supposed to go to Parliament, or Congress, it's called the Congress here, and suggest a change. So, people are not powerless. We think we're powerless, but there's that venue that's always there to talk to your representative. So just like you talk to a friend, you can call your representative and talk to them. Now, if you do something about it, that's good. If you don't do something about it, you've done your civil part, what you need to do. If you don't do anything about it, and it's bad, and you know it's bad, then you're part of the problem. Unfortunately, that's the reality. So, I'm not trying to, rouse you up to do a whole lot of things, but I'm just pointing out to you that there is that connection to your representative, always that's there. Now, the politicians, what they do, that's up to them, but at least you can speak your mind by contacting either the representative or the senator. They're all for different states, two senators per state. You definitely can contact their office. So you can, in fact, express things to change. And make them extra conscious, too, in the process. Talk to them about it and make them that. The person that goes to the mode of goodness, the whole, state benefits from it. Anger. Anger. Growth. Anger, in general, we need to stay away from. There's anger, sometimes, even in the mode of goodness. Anger is mostly passion and ignorance. But in the case of Hanuman, when Hanuman was unfairly captured in Lanka, and they brought before Ravan, and Ravan, one of them said, they were going to kill him, but they said, well, he's a messenger, you have to, so you just punish him. They decided to tie up, put fire on his tail, okay? And of course, it got Hanuman very upset. He already had the wound from Agnidev that the fire won't have any effect, heat on him. But what did he do? In anger, he burned down the whole city of Lanka. But that's a city of demons, though. So that act was not a bad act. We, when we are angry, we are at risk of committing Vaishnava Aparadha to another devotee. We are at risk of doing that. And so we have to be careful with that particular, that part. If you're going to be, if something gets you angry, the best thing to do, if you cannot control your speech, get away from that person. If a person has been unfair to you and you made you upset, get away from that person. Move physically away from that person. If you move from them, the physical, where they are, you're not going to say something bad to them, to their hearing at least. Not even to their hearing. So if you move away, then you can deal with it later on, whatever the issue was, and
there was, again, I'll tell you one story. In the Rathiatra in Queens, New York, I was there this past Rathiatra. First time ever that I've been to Queens for Rathiatra. And there was a devotee that was singing nicely, and it was inspiring me, and I wanted to sing. So he had the microphone, and I went to him, and basically I was going to ask that I get an opportunity to sing, but he was singing, holding the microphone, and he was trying to play mudanga. Like, he played mudanga with two hands. So he has one microphone, and then he's playing the big part of mudanga. So I said, that's an opportunity. Let me hold the microphone for him, so he can play mudanga, and then he did not tell him that maybe after he finishes singing, I would like to sing. So I went to him first thing I heard, can I hold mudanga? I mean, hold the microphone? He didn't respond to me. He ignored me. He just kept singing. And I said, well, maybe he didn't hear it, right? So then I was quiet around him. I asked the second time, again, loud, and he looked away from me. Then I realized that he didn't want me around him. So obviously I got upset inside. But the first thing I did is what I just told you. I just moved away from him and went to another park and never came back to him. Before the end of Rathiatra, somehow he noticed that what he did was not right. So then he said, come, take the microphone and sing before him. He was trying to get me now to take the microphone and sing. But another person was singing, and I said, alright, wait. So they actually gave me the microphone to hold, to wait, to sing. But then another person came and said, I would like to sing, give me the microphone. So I gave him, said, let him have it. What's the point? Fighting him. So in the end, I didn't sing at all. The devotee was not satisfied. So in the end, when we were having the entertainment part, okay, and then after that, there were some kids on who were dancing. So he came and pulled me from my chair, come dance with me. He wanted to do something to counteract the fact that he ignored me deliberately. Unfortunately, my legs were giving me pain, so I said, no, I can't dance right now. But at least he tried to, though, make up. Now, if I had fought him at the time that I said to open and take the mic, there would be an issue. He would probably have gotten mad at me. It was obvious that he didn't want me to hold the microphone because he ignored me twice. So he just let it alone. Now, I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody, but these things, if you use it, that's what I'm saying, if you use it, you will get away from so many conflicts. So many conflicts. It's a thing you learn. So jealousy, I don't need to get into details about jealousy. I'm sure everybody knows about it. One advice is, if something that somebody has makes you jealous, you wish you had it, you go work for it and get some yourself. There's nothing that stops you from getting that thing. Rather than put the energy into hating that person because they have what you don't have, go get it yourself. Work hard. Is that important to you? Work hard. Attachment is attachment to material things. Attachment to spiritual things is wonderful. Attachment to material things will keep us here in the material world. So we should be attached to the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The last one is selfishness. Don't ever be selfish. When the person is selfish, they lose the opportunity to get more and more spiritual credits. When you're selfless, when you do for other people, it's counted in your favor, that is more spiritual credits. If you are selfish, everything for me, everything for me, everything for me, then Maya says, yes, everything is for you. Even the things that you should give to the deities, no, take it for yourself. Everything you can give for your family, take it for yourself. Maya is going to pull that in so many different ways. And then and you really Maha selfishness. Because Maya is just going to give so many examples to do the selfish act. The more selfless we are, the opposite, the happier we are. The more you give, the happier you yourself become. And the relationship to the person that you gave it to will be wonderful also. Not to mention that. So it's much, much better to be selfless. Think of yourself less and think more of other people and how you can help them. That is actually the best thing. So, the 10 things, false ego, cruelty, injustice, lust, anger, greed, pride, jealousy, attachment, and selfishness. Those are the 10 heads of Ravan that in the burning of Ravan, removed, and that's a symbolic thing to do, but actually we should be aware of it in our own lives. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Lust.
There is physical lust and there's also subtle lust. There's two categories. When I talked about sex life, I was talking about lust then, even though I didn't mention it. It was part of the regular principles that I mentioned that. Here, the summit, the height of motor passion is actually sex life. Lust is opposite of love. So lust takes and love gives. Okay? If you just have that simply in mind, the more giving you are, the more loving you are. The more you want for yourself, the more lusty you are, which is attached to selfishness also. Two of them are. Okay, so we'll make it short here. We can talk a bit more about it later. Okay, any other questions or comments? Thanks. Yes. Anger, yeah. Yes, that is true. I didn't hear the last part. You're talking about for ourselves. Why did he burn the city? Why did I use
anger as the Hanuman? Like, why
do
you use anger?
To
explain anger, why
do
you use Hanuman?
Why do you use anger? Okay. Why do you use anger in this case?
Why do you use Hanuman as an example?
Why do I use Hanuman as an example? Alright, so I'm sorry, it took me a while. I didn't register, you got my input to do. So, why do you use anger? Yeah, Hanuman as an example. Well, I wanted to make that because most of us know that when we're angry, we are more than likely going to do the bad thing, right? So we know anger and the mode of passion and ignorance. And I just wanted to express that sometimes it can also be used in the mode of witness. And it's not only Hanuman, Arjuna also. And when Arjuna was fighting, he was plenty of time angry. Especially when he had to fight Karna, and he got defeated the day before. He came back really ready to fight, at him. Very much at him. Trying to eliminate Bhishma, that was difficult. Very difficult task to do, you know, emotionally. But Karna had sworn he was going to kill Arjuna. So Arjuna went at him. And he almost succeeded the day before. So he went at him hard, and he used anger. Lord Balaram has used anger several times in getting rid of demons. Because it increases the intensity by which they punish. When Krishna was killing Kamsa, he was angry then. When Krishna as a baby was sucking the breast of Putana, he was angry at her. But all of that, yes, it is part of pastime, but that's the intensity that makes people, but the devotee and Krishna himself do it with great intensity, whatever they gotta do. So that's it's used in that way. Now, we are told, now this is one, we are told, because I myself have some reservations about this, that when somebody speaks badly about your spiritual master, you have the right to be angry at them. Some people know that. Now, yes, it's there, but if the person is speaking bad about the spiritual master, your spiritual master, and you are angry, but you don't strike at the person, verbally, physically, whatever, then you have not committed something bad towards him. I'm not saying it's not right, I just said committed something bad towards him. Because as soon as you strike that person, he's not going to have a good relationship with you anymore. And at least for a while, it's not going to happen that way. Personally, I will be upset if somebody says something bad against my spiritual master, but I won't go at them right away. I will not go at them right away. Later on, because Krishna works in so many ways,
Later on, whatever repercussions, chastisement that's going to come to that person, Krishna will arrange to come to that person. Because gurus are not light. If you do a guru aparad, there will be something that you have to pay for it. So the devotee himself doesn't really have to do it. You don't really have to. If you understand that, to get angry about it, yes. But to react to it is not important at all. Because Krishna will show that person. We've been around for a while and we've seen this happen so many times. So many, many times. Madhuva has been openly offended. Never mind this one-on-one girl. Openly. And it's so sad. It was at his Vyasa Puja. Vyasa Puja, if you know what Vyasa Puja means, his birthday, the devotees have all gathered. And this particular devotee of his, devotee that knew him when he was Brahmacharya, he happened to be visiting Giranagri. Everybody is saying wonderful things about the spiritual master. He takes the mic and he talks about how arrogant the spiritual master is to all of the disciples. And I mean, we were feeling, a lot of us are angry. But we heard the whole thing through, said negative things, and then we were wondering what the spiritual master was going to do. He did nothing. We went on to the next person, and the next person glorified the spiritual master. So in all our intensity, we clapped so hard just to get the energy out of us because we're all so upset. Right? Now, and none of us said, we're going to get that guy. Later on, we're going to get that guy. And somehow, he was gone. Right? Somehow he was gone. I remember it so well. And this is just jealousy. He was envious, he was Brahmacharya, my spiritual master was Brahmacharya. He went to sannyasi, he became a spiritual master, and this guy never got anywhere, therefore he's jealous of him. So he comes to Vyasa Puja and then puts my spiritual master down in front of his own disciples. It happened to Giranagri. But nobody went after him, although we even felt wounded. Okay, so again, self-control is important, I guess. Any other guess? Were you there? No, that time you haven't come yet. Okay. What happened? We're going to start in a couple of minutes at 6 o'clock. To overcome, yes. The person who said the first thing. That's a tough one. That's why it's false. Yeah. The real ego is Krishna's ego. Because Krishna is owner of everything. So we have to serve. And the more humble we are serving the servants of the servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more we can control our own false ego. Yeah, it's an ego situation. But it is not good when we express it that way. That's why the word false is put in the front of it. So if you ask me to come up with a positive thing, I'm going to say, I don't know any positive thing about for that. Okay, any last question? It's the 6 o'clock now. Yes. Not desire being repressed necessarily. When somebody is angry, because if you react based on your anger, you're likely to offend that person. It's best if you stay away. Whatever it is that the person did, what is the cause of it? Whatever it is that the person did that you didn't like, that is the cause. Just in general. Yeah. You didn't like, that's the cause. But your reaction to it is another thing. Reaction to it, you have to be careful. So I'll tell another story. This is my wife and me. So she does some services to Dilis in the morning before she leaves for work. I had to take a car for the dealership. There was a particular time I was supposed to get there in the morning also. So I also had to run out. She said at that morning that she was running late. So can you do the service of giving the Dilis? I know that if I do that, I'm going to be late giving to the dealership. But he says, can you do it? And he walks out the door, drives the guy, and she's gone. She's gone. You tell her about what I said. And here I am. And are you going to not open the DVDs and serve them? So I have to do it. Now if I get angry at them and mention something negative to her, that's an offense to her because she's a Vaishnava. So now I'm restricted from how to approach this situation. The best thing is, everybody's gone. The ladies have to be awakened. I'm going to believe if I do it, but I have to do it. So then I did it. And got in there and did it late because I know one thing. Once you have done service for Krishna, whatever it is that's between you, he'll take care of it. It always happens. He'll take care of it. So, and once my mind said, well, that was not fair that I'm seeing it. Yeah, the service should do that. Somewhere to go, and then he did this to me, and she's gone. All right, but then I served it. This is the best of my ability, knowing whatever I had to do. Finished, did the puja, and then left. Drove, knowing I was going to be late. Before I got there, I called them and said, I'm running a little late, but I'll be there. So don't think I'm not coming. They said, okay. So then I got there. And they still charged me for the half hour that I was late though. The labor I still have to pay. But one thing happened. They were working on my brakes. And normally when something is wrong with the brakes, the mechanic just replaces it. They put a new one in there, right? This mechanic took the part out and didn't replace it. He realized it was dirty. And cleaned it and put it back. $350 was saved. So here's your answer. Because we didn't know what spiritual, Krishna saved me that much money. Somebody else, they could use the car person, I'm going to put another one in there, a couple of them, boom, you know, here's your bill. But he came to tell me when I was in the waiting room that your car person are not, that they just dirty. And I'm going to give you them back. You don't have to pay anything. So I just paid labor only. Half hour labor was added to it, but compared to the cost of the items, I saved a whole lot of money. So if we err, make a mistake on part of serving Krishna, when you have material things to do and spiritual things to do, and you have so much time, lose so much time, do the spiritual thing. Don't jump to do the material thing. Even though you'd be tempted to do the material thing, do the spiritual thing instead. Because Krishna will take care of the material thing. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Ratrakumar Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Guru Pramadandi. I think that was...